Mark chapter 4, verse 22. For there is nothing hid except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except it come to light.
Hidden for centuries, buried in time, now revealed for those who dare to seek the truth. Joseph Lumpkin and Fifth Estate Publishing bring you the books that unveil ancient wisdom, secrets that were once lost to history. From the mysteries of the Book of Enoch to the profound truths of the lost books of the Bible, these works expose what has been concealed for generations. Curious, hungry for deeper knowledge, the answers are here, waiting for you. Search Joseph Lumpkin or Fifth Estate Publishing and uncover the wisdom that's been waiting for you.
There's nothing hid except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except it come to light. For there is nothing hid except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except it come to light.
Ladies and gentlemen, seekers of truth and wisdom, welcome to the inaugural episode of Lit Wisdom. I'm your host, Logan Delore, here to guide you through the mystical, the magical, and the mind-bending realms of ancient knowledge and modern musings. Today, we embark on a journey into the enigmatic Gospel of Thomas, a text shrouded in mystery, offering profound insights into spirituality and self-discovery. Unearthed in 1945 in Upper Egypt, this gospel presents 114 sayings attributed to Emmanuel, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, many of which challenge conventional interpretations. Our exploration is inspired by Joseph B. Lumpkin's The Gospel of Thomas, a spiritual road to wholeness, peace, and enlightenment. Lumpkin delves deep into the spiritual and psychological meanings of each verse, guiding readers toward inner peace and enlightenment. Think you know Jesus? Think again, because this is no Sunday school sermon. We're talking cryptic sayings, hidden truths, and a path to enlightenment that's as mind-bending as it is ancient. And to kick things off, we're serving up a 15-minute powerhouse excerpt from an advanced lesson in Gnosticism. Hold on tight, folks, because this ride doesn't stop until we reach the depths of cosmic truth. But first, let's talk about Gnosticism itself. What is it, and why does it matter to this conversation? Gnosticism sounds fancy, right? But at its core, it's all about knowledge. The word Gnostic comes from the Greek word gnosis, meaning knowledge or insight. But we're not talking about book smarts here. Gnosticism is about a deeper spiritual knowledge, a kind of inner knowing that connects you to the divine. Here's the kicker. Gnostics believe that this world, it's flawed, imperfect, maybe even a trap. According to their teachings, the material world was created by a lesser deity, sometimes called the Demiurge. Yep, you heard that right, folks. Not the ultimate god, but a lower, flawed being. The real divine spark, that's hidden inside each of us, waiting to be awakened. Gnosticism says that through self-discovery and inner enlightenment, we can escape the illusions of this world and reunite with the true, ultimate divine source. And it's not just about faith. Gnosticism is a journey, one where you question everything, challenge the norms, and seek out hidden truths for yourself. Sounds kind of rebellious, doesn't it? Well, that's exactly why Gnostic texts like the Gospel of Thomas were buried, banned, and branded heretical for centuries. They did not fit into the mainstream narrative. So why does this matter? Because tonight, as we journey through the Gospel of Thomas, you're going to see how these teachings can still shake up your reality and invite you to see the world in a whole new way. And what better way to kick things off than with an excerpt from an advanced lesson in Gnosticism, a powerful guide to understanding these ancient mysteries. All right, enough talk. Let's dive in. Here's A Taste of Wisdom, narrated by Dennis Logan. Introduction to the Gospel of Thomas. In the winter of 1945, in Upper Egypt, Arab peasants were gathering fertilizer and topsoil for their crops. While digging in the soft dirt, they came across a large earthen vessel. Inside were scrolls containing hitherto unseen books. The scrolls were discovered near the site of the ancient town of Chinaboskian, at the base of a mountain named Gebel et-Tarif, near Hamardoum, in the vicinity of Nag Hammadi, about 60 miles from Luxor in Egypt. The texts were written in the Coptic language and preserved on papyrus sheets. The lettering style dated them as having been penned around the 3rd or 4th century AD. The Gospel of Thomas is the longest of the volumes, consisting of 114 verses. Recent study indicates that the original work of Thomas, of which the scrolls are copies, may predate the 4 canonical Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The origin of the Gospel of Thomas is now thought to be from the 1st or 2nd century AD. The word Coptic is an Arabic corruption of the Greek word Aegyptos, which in turn comes from the word Hecopta, one of the names of the city of Memphis, the first capital of ancient Egypt. There has never been a Coptic state or government per se. However, the word has been used to generally define a culture and language present in the area of Egypt. The known history of the Copts starts with King Mena, the first king, who united the northern and southern kingdoms of Egypt circa 3050 BC. The ancient Egyptian civilization under the rule of the pharaohs lasted over 3,000 years. Saint Mena, named after the king, is one of the major Coptic saints. He was martyred in 309 AD. The culture has come to be recognized as one containing a distinctive art, architecture, and even a certain Christian church system. The Coptic Church is based on the teachings of Saint Mark, who introduced the region to Christianity in the 1st century AD. The Copts take pride in the monastic flavor of their church and the fact that the Gospel of Mark is thought to be the oldest of the Gospels. Now, lying before a peasant boy was a scroll written in the ancient Coptic tongue, the Gospel of Thomas, possibly older than, and certainly quite different from any other Gospel. The peasant boy who found the treasure of the Gospel of Thomas stood to be rewarded greatly. This could have been the discovery of a lifetime for his family, but the boy had no idea what he had. He took the scrolls home, where his mother burned some as kindling. Others were sold to the black market antique dealers in Cairo. It would be years until they found their way into the hands of a scholar. Part of the 13th Codex was smuggled from Egypt to America. In 1955, whispers of the existence of the Codex had reached the ears of Giles Caspel, a professor of religion and history in the Netherlands. The race was on to find and translate the scrolls. The introduction of the collected sayings of Jesus refers to the writer as Didymus, Jude, Thomas. This is the same Thomas who doubted Jesus and was then told to place his hand within the breach in the side of the Savior. In the Gospel of St. John, he is referred to as Didymus, which means twin in Greek. In Aramaic, the name Jude, or Judas, also carries the sense of twin. The use of this title led some in the apocryphal tradition to believe that he was the twin brother and confidant of Jesus. However, when applied to Jesus himself, the literal meaning of twin must be rejected by Orthodox Christianity, as well as anyone adhering to the doctrine of the virgin birth of the only begotten Son of God. The title is likely meant to signify that Thomas was a close confidant of Jesus, Or, more simply, he was part of a set of twins and in no way related to Jesus. Ancient church historians mention that Thomas preached to the Parthians in Persia, and it is said he was buried in Edessa. 4th century chronicles attribute the evangelization of India, Asia Minor, or Central Asia, to Thomas.
Welcome to Lit Wisdom,
the only show that dares to crack open the vaults of ancient knowledge and remix it for the net.
Just search Joseph Lincoln, 5th Estate Publishing, or Dennis Logan on Audible for the full No Frills audio book.
Tonight, we're diving into the Gospel of Thomas.
Welcome to Lit Wisdom. Welcome to Lit Wisdom.
The text, which some believe predates the four Gospels, has a very Taoist, Zen-like, or Eastern flavor. Since it is widely held that the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have a common reference in the basic text of Mark, it stands to reason that all follow the same general history, insights, and language. Since scholars believe that the Gospel of Thomas predates the four main Gospels, it can be assumed it was written outside the influences common to the other Gospels. The Gospel of Thomas is actually not a Gospel at all. It contains no narrative, but is instead a collection of sayings, which are said to be from Jesus himself as written, quoted, by Thomas. Although the codex found in Egypt is dated to the 4th century, most biblical scholars place the actual construction of the text of Thomas at about 70 to 150 AD. The Gospel was often mentioned in early Christian literature, but no copy was thought to have survived until the discovery of the Coptic manuscript. Since then, part of the Oxyvrancus papyri have been identified as older Greek fragments of Thomas. The papyri were discovered in 1898 in the rubbish heaps of Oxyrhynchus, Egypt. This discovery yielded over 35 manuscript fragments for the New Testament. They have been dated to about 60 AD. As a point of reference, a fragment of papyrus from the Dead Sea Scrolls had been dated to before 68 AD. There are marked differences between the Greek and Coptic texts, as we will see. The debate on the date of Thomas centers in part on whether Thomas is dependent on the canonical Gospels or is derived from an earlier document that was simply a collection of sayings. Many of the passages in Thomas appear to be more authentic versions of the synoptic parables, and many have parallels in Mark and Luke. This has caused a division of thought wherein some believe Thomas used common sources, also used by Mark and Luke. Others believe Thomas was written independently after witnessing the same events. If Thomas wrote his gospel first, without input from Mark, and from the standpoint of Eastern exposure as a result of his sojourn into India, it could explain the mystical quality of the text. It could also explain the striking differences in the recorded quotes of Jesus as memories were influenced by exposure to Asian culture. There is some speculation that the sayings found in Thomas could be more accurate to the original intent and wording of Jesus than the other Gospels. This may seem counterintuitive until we realize that Christianity itself is an Eastern religion, albeit Middle Eastern. Although, as it spread west, the faith went through many changes to westernize or Romanize it. Jesus was both mystical and Middle Eastern. The Gospel of Thomas may not have seen as much dilution by Western society. The Gospel of Thomas was most likely composed in Syria, where tradition holds the Church of Edessa was founded by Judas Thomas, the twin, Didymus. The Gospel may well be the earliest written tradition in the Syriac Church. The Gospel of Thomas is sometimes called a Gnostic Gospel, although it seems more likely Thomas was adopted by the Gnostic community and interpreted in the light of their beliefs. The term Gnostic is derived from gnosis, which in Greek means knowledge. Gnostics believe that knowledge is formed or found from a personal encounter with God this knowledge that brings salvation. The Gnostics believe they were privy to a secret knowledge about the divine. It is their focus on knowledge that leads to their name. The roots of the Gnosticism predate Christianity. Similarities exist to the wisdom and knowledge cults found in Egypt. The belief system seems to have spread and found a suitable home in the mystical side of the Christian faith. There are numerous references to the Gnostics in 2nd century literature. Their form of Christianity was considered heresy by the early church fathers. The intense resistance to the Gnostic belief system seems to be based in two areas. First, there was a general Gnostic belief that we were all gods, with heaven contained within us. Jesus, according to the Gnostics, was here to show us our potential to become as he was, a son or daughter of God. For God is both father and mother, male and female. These beliefs ran contrary to the newly developing orthodoxy. The second line of resistance was political. This resistance developed later and would have come from the fact that a faith based on a personal encounter flew in the face of the developing church political structure that placed priests and church as the keepers of heaven's gate with salvation through them alone. It is from the writings condemning the group that we glean most of our information about the Gnostics. They are alluded to in the Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 4 and 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 20, and possibly the entirety of Jude, as the writers of the Bible defended their theology against that of the Gnostics. The Coptic and Greek translations of the Gospel of Thomas presented herein are the result of a gestalt brought about by contrasting and comparing all of the foremost translations, where the best phrasing was chosen to follow the intent and meaning of the text. Because there are differences between the Coptic manuscript and the Greek fragments of Thomas, each verse will have the following format for the reader to view. The Coptic text will be presented first, since we have the entire gospel in this language. The Greek text will come next. If there is not a second rendition of the verse, the reader may assume there was no Greek fragment found for that verse, or the Greek version of the verse was identical to the Coptic version. Lastly, obvious parallels found in the Bible are listed. Let us keep in mind that some of the differences between the translations of the Greek and Coptic may be attributed, in part, to the choice of word or phrase of those translating. It is the differences in overall meaning of verses between Coptic and Greek on which we should focus. In the document to follow, the Gospel of Thomas will appear as a bold text. If there are other relevant but divergent interpretations of phrases in Thomas, they are included in parentheses. Any parallels of text or meaning that appear in the Bible are placed below the verse in italicized text. Author's notes are in regular text. In this way, the reader can easily identify which body of work is being referenced and observe how they fit together. Since the deeper meanings within Thomas are both in metaphor and in plain, understandable language, it is hoped that each time the words are read, some new insight and treasure can be taken from them. As we change our perspective, we see the meaning of each verse differently. As one turns a single jewel to view each facet, we should study the Gospel of Thomas in the same way. The Gospel of Thomas. These are the secret sayings which the living Jesus has spoken. Judas, who was also Thomas, the twin, Didymus, Judas, Thomas, wrote, living after the resurrection. And he said, whoever finds the interpretation of these sayings, he said to them, whoever finds the interpretation of these sayings will not taste death. He said to them, whoever discovers the interpretation of these words shall never taste death. John chapter 8 verse 51.
Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus,
if those who lead you say to you, look, the kingdom is in the sky, then the birds of the sky would enter before you. If they say to you, it is in the sea, then the fish of the sea would enter ahead you. But the kingdom of God exists within you, and it exists outside of you. Those who come to know, recognize, themselves will find it. Those who come to know, themselves will find it. Those who come to know, themselves will find it. And when you come to know yourselves, you will become known, and you will realize that you are the children of the living Father. Yet if you do not come to know yourselves, then you will dwell in poverty, and it will be you who are that poverty.
Tonight's episode was just the beginning. Want to go deeper into the mysteries? Step into the world of the Gospel of Thomas, a spiritual road to wholeness, and an advanced lesson in Gnosticism by Joseph Larkin and Brendan Larkin, and narrated by Dennis Logan, the voice that resurrects ancient texts and gives them new life. Available on Audible.
Imagine this the host. In the law, turn up for Jesus. Tonight we cover Gospel of Thomas, the Wisdom Podcast. Next time we cover for Barnabas, Barnabas,
just search Joseph Logan, Fifth Estate Publishing, or Dennis Logan on Audible. Hearing seen nothing yet. The rabbit hole goes much.